FM.
The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast.
The Novos. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. How are we all feeling today? Kath,
happy
ready to
Melbourne
go?
Melbourne Cup Day, also known as Happy Interest Rates Going Up Day.
Well,
that was the first Tuesday of the month.
Yep, there you go. Probably going up. Who knows? Probably going down. Probably staying the same. They're the three options.
Well done, Creepo. You now pass Commerce 101.
Entertaining and educational, this show.
That's what we're all about.
Always.
Yeah,
get that man some more coffee.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I need a tea big time this morning.
That's all right. Now, is everyone excited about today?
I'm very excited. I'm off to Queen's Wharf.
Lovely.
Pretty much as soon as the show is done.
You'll be putting on your top hat and tails, off you go to the races. What about you, Kath? Have you got any events on, the excitement
it's
about
Tuesday,
today?
Tuesday, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's cut day.
Each to their own. You can have whatever vibe you want. That's the freedom of choice in life, isn't it?
Indeed.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
Morning. I'm good.
Yes, yes. Another one for Team God. That's what I'm all about.
Now, Jess, as a reputable journalist,
yes,
you got a tip for today?
Gold trip.
Oh, yeah, back-to-back, you reckon?
Yep. Local, back-to-back. How can you not?
Nah, absolutely.
Narrative merchant. That's what I'm saying. On the narrative. No good.
You, Stephen says no.
Whatever. We'll see who's happy tomorrow.
That we most certainly will.
Have you put any of your dollary dues on it, Jess?
No.
Okay. Good to know. Real supporter, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be happy with our happiness tomorrow if the old trip wins, I'm sure.
Hey, absolutely.
I was right. That's all I need.
That's sure it is.
Real prize, isn't it? Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Happy Cup Day if you're up and about and involved. Should be a cracker.
The Novos. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
And it is Melbourne Cup Day. If you are one of those people that knows nothing about racing but wants to play along with the day.
Yes,
you
know, that's everyone. Let's be real.
The social convention that we have here in Australia. Well, here's a couple of basic things that you should know, right? It's race 7 at Flemington. There's 10 races on today. It's race 7, right? So you hear people talking about race 7.
That's what it is.
That's the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
You'll hear this thing, it's set to jump. That means the race starts at 3 p.m.
Okay? There we go. Kath in with the lingo.
It's a 3,200 metre race, which is 3.2 k's, right? But nobody says 3.2 k's. That means it goes for a really, really long time, and they do like 2 full laps. So if they're coming around and you think like this is the end, it's not. Just hang on, wait for the second lap.
And if your horse is coming last 10 seconds in, do not panic.
Nah,
you got
it's early days.
Plenty of horses have come from behind. There's $8 million in prize money, $4.4 million to the first winner. and it's on Channel 10, right? So if you go to turn on the television and you want to look like you know what you're doing, go straight to Channel 10. Or you can actually listen to it here on UFM. That's the best spot, really. And there are a number of Newcastle connections if you want to kind of, you know, make it sound like you know what's going on. But a couple we just heard about in the news. So Dylan Gibbons is the second Newcastle jockey to race in the Melbourne Cup. He's riding number 13, Akita Sushi.
Good luck saying some of these days.
I like sushi.
You can say this one fairly easy, which is Cleveland is the only scratching for the day, and that's actually a Newcastle trained horse, number 10. So he's out for the day. And Gold Trip won last year, is one of the favourites for this year. Not the favourite. It's currently coming at $7. I can't even read my own writing. Valban. I don't know. Current favourite at $4.60.
There you go.
Yeah, see, just fake it. It'd be fine.
Yeah, the cat's got your back is the lesson there.
And no one really knows what they're doing. That's my hot tip.
Say one fact, you're probably ahead.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5 with Jess.
Jess, what's this news about Maitland Cemetery? It's got some people concerned.
So apparently there are some locals concerned in particular about one cemetery. It's called Glebe Cemetery. It's in East Maitland, apparently the final resting place for Maitland's early settlers. But a house is being constructed like literally metres away from some of the grave sites, and some locals are concerned that new housing developments could impact on said grave. This was a story last night. I think it was on A Current Affair, actually.
Yeah, I saw the picture. It's got like one of those old school like cast iron fences around this grave. Mm. And it's like, if you can, I feel like if you had, you know, you could reach almost the house. That's how close it is. It's really close.
Yeah, so apparently that particular grave site and a number of grave sites in Maitland do have, like, heritage protections on them. The Maitland mayor jumped on Facebook last night to say that this particular housing development that's in question was approved, like, way back in 2014, and the grave sites are heritage approved and it's not council land, so...
Not much that can be done.
Yeah. It's what it is.
You can build a house right next to it as long as you don't knock it over.
Somebody would want to live that close to a visible grave.
It's a bit...
But you know what? Cost of like housing, if there's a deal on, people are going to grab it. They don't really...
Half off if you want to live near a gravesite.
Yeah. You know what? Like, it's nothing to be, you know, laughed at. If it is cheaper to buy next to a cemetery or whatever.
Oh, fun place out here.
I can guarantee you it's cheaper to buy the other side of Maitland than East Maitland.
Oh, well,
where did you become the voice of reason, Graver?
I'm always the voice of reason.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
That's what I'm known for.
Never. Not once. I refuse to believe this isn't a wind-up in some form.
Nah, it isn't.
All right. Anyway, we digress. It is the race that stops the nation today, Jess. And for those like you who are, I guess, narrative merchants and want to put their money behind a horse that's got a connection close to home, where are we going?
Well, if you want to back the jockey from the Hunter who's riding a horse in the Melbourne Cup by a trainer who's won a couple of times, Dylan Gibbons from Maitland, he is riding Joseph O'Brien's Akita Suchi down at the 3,200-metre track this afternoon. He is... a very good jockey. Like, he's already won Group 1 races, won earlier this year, was the Sydney Cup. Very, very talented, only 22 years old as well. Mm. Yeah, very, very young. Chris Lees, who's a renowned Newcastle trainer, has one horse now. He did have two, but Cleveland got scratched yesterday. So Colourpore is his in the Cup this afternoon. And, of course, Gold Trip, who won the Melbourne Cup last year, owned by Australian Bloodstock here in the Hunter. It is racing again.
Mm, all to play for, if you will.
And you've got all the names down, Pat. Are you doing UFM's call at 3 o'clock, Jess?
I can't talk that quick. How quick they talk?
Yeah,
it's pretty quick.
It is a talent, isn't it? Well, if you are on the road, you want to catch the call, and UFM's got it live from 3 o'clock today. So you want to make sure you're listening for that.
As you wake up with the Novos, UFM.
Well, we are talking about massive competitions, though. The much anticipated Zuck versus Elon fight could be in jeopardy.
Oh, no, because it was supposed to happen in Rome at the Colosseum,
yeah,
right?
So a bit of a catch-up for those who, you know, maybe have not been following this story. Basically, this fight, it was rumoured to have begun when Elon Musk heard about Zuckerberg's threats, which was basically a direct competition to Twitter, which is now X. Anyway, there's a lot of lingo going on here. But basically, Elon Musk tweeted at the time, "I'm sure Earth can't wait to be exclusively under Zuck's thumb."
Right.
He was like, oh, here we go. He's controlling all the information, yada, yada, yada.
Didn't he at one point call him Zuck the Cuck?
Yeah, we're getting there. This is all in the story, right? So a Twitter user jokingly warned Elon Musk that Zuckerberg knew jiu-jitsu. He's like, you don't want to mess with this guy, you know. He's been training with all the greats. And there is photos of him training with, like, UFC fighters and some of MMA's greats. Musk, not too scared, though, wrote back, let's have a cage match. So he was like, that was when the first rumors began of this proposed fight. Now, a lot of people were like, aha, that's hell funny, what a joke. But Zuckerberg took it seriously, posted a screenshot of this tweet. And he said, send me a location. Oh, so that's when the world went into a frenzy. I mean, UFC president Dana White got behind it.
Yeah.
The MMA giant said they would support it. Location proposed, like you said, Colosseum in Rome. They were like, this is going to be one of the biggest fights in the world. It was going to be streamed on both, like, X and on Meta, I suppose. On
both platforms.
Going to be raising money for charities. It was going to be like this big event. in the meantime as well, you know, like you said, there was some jabs thrown, as is in the preparation to any fight. So, Zuck is a cuck was the exact tweet that was sent out. And there was also a proposed appendage measuring competition. I don't know if you remember this, Greenbo.
Yeah, so who's got the longest arm.
Yeah, I think that's what they were on about, those two. But, yeah, I can now tell you that, unfortunately, the fight won't be happening for at least 12 months.
12 months? I'm bored of it by then, I reckon.
You reckon you're
bored of it already?
Oh, yeah. I would love to see, I do, deep down, would love to see them fighting. Battle of the Billionaires. It's something, it's like something out of a comic book almost.
I just don't think either of them could fight either. I reckon they both close their eyes while swinging a punch. Like, I just can't imagine either of them being any good. Anyway, Mark Zuckerberg unfortunately has tore his ACL, his left ACL, while sparring. He's put out a little, like, post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Grateful for the doctors and team taking care of me. I was training for a competitive MMA fight early next year, but now that's delayed a bit. Still looking forward to doing it after I recover. Thanks, everyone, for the love and support. So
I think the heat will have come out of it by then, but if it ever happens, I'll still be there with my $20 ready to...
We're one crazy tweet from Elon Musk away, though, from the heat being back on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still a good chance this thing will happen. Oh, fingers crossed.
And I feel like there are a couple of big milestones, big moments in a young man's life. the first time he gets behind the wheel comes to mind.
Yeah.
Your first cold beer after a hard day's work.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time he fries some chicken. And I ticked off the ladder of those three last night off me checklist in life.
Yeah.
Because some might be familiar, but my partner Siobhan and I at the moment, to kind of mix up our diet, we've got a wheel of cuisine, which we spin every week, and it tells us what country we're allowed to cook food from.
Or as I call it, the wheel of food.
Yeah, so Wheel of Food over the weekend decided that this week we're having Korean food.
Oh,
so,
lovely.
Last night, decided to try my hand Korean fried chicken, the most Western of the Korean food. Well, you know what? I'll have a crack at that. So
start yourself, ease into Korean week, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So, I went and I bought me chicken wings from Woolies and all me bits and bobs for the sauce. And up until this point, I guess this is part of adulting, the journey of adulting. Frying stuff has been something that's quite scary to me.
What are you scared of, Stephen?
I don't know. I just thought it was a big, hard, long process, you know? I just thought, like, this is going to be so difficult, it's going to take me forever. It was so easy, wasn't it? Like, oh, my God. A couple of spices, a bit of corn flour, and then put it in oil. That's it. I couldn't believe it. So, honestly, I was so shocked at how simple the process was, which is both relieving but so dangerous, because now that I know how easy it is to fry stuff,
you'll be frying everything.
Oh, everything's getting fried, isn't it? Like, don't be coming around to the Charlestown Castle, because even if you're within 200 meter parameter, you'll just be able to smell that sweet smell of frying food.
Do yourself a favor though, buy an air fryer.
I have got an air fryer.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as deep frying,
is it? I know it's
it?
Not the same, but, you know, that level of oil content would not be good for you.
I know.
He's a fit young man. Don't worry about it. He plays 19 sports every week.
There's only one fried food that I insist on getting the oil out for, and that's doing potato scallops properly.
Okay.
That's your really, number one. Again, really, really easy to do. Make a batter, cut a potato in slices, thick slices, put it in the batter, put it in the oil, bang.
Why is everyone telling me how easy it is to make this unhealthy food?
I feel like I'm on an episode of Gordon Ramsay. This is so exciting.
I am in all kinds of trouble. Just a PSA to the family, I am in strife, because everything is getting fried. Deep fried Mars bars tonight, I reckon.
Carrots. What are they doing in there? Fry them.
I'll give it a go.
There's plenty of events happening for Melbourne Cup today. You can go for a luncheon. You can go to many parties. Mm-hmm. You can even go out on a lake cruise. But there are a section of the population who don't get into the Melbourne Cup. for a whole lot of reasons. There's this whole Up to the Cup movement that kind of gets a bit concerned about animal welfare and those kinds of things, as well as gambling and all those other kinds of things. Now, in Melbourne, they hold this huge, big event across the road from Flemington, which is the Up to the Cup event.
Right, okay.
But there is actually something happening here in Newcastle. I've just had a look, though, and they've sold out of tickets. But I'll tell you about the gig anyway, because I think it's a really good one. And it's called Fashions Without the Field.
Oh, right. Now, tell us, what's this? How does this all work?
So, basically, they're having, like, a fashion parade and the big dinner and, you know, a whole lot of charity-type, auction-type stuff that's happening at this event at Bartholomew's tonight with a jazz band and a, you know, fashion runway and the whole thing. Everybody's got to dress up. There's going to be prizes for best dress, nice. The whole thing. It's just without the horse race.
So it's a bit like a bit of a classy event. You can still get dressed up to the nines, have a good night, and it's at night as well. So maybe if you're like working during the day, that's an option to have a bit of fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's raising money for two really good causes, WWINC, which is a wildlife care organisation, and Project 252, which is housing for at-risk young women, both local charities, which is great. I think it's a really great idea. Unfortunately, it is sold out. You could probably try contacting Bree Lacey if you wanted to try and get in there. Maybe they can slip you onto a table.
Yeah, under the table. Yeah, wherever you fit. But look, I mean, next year, no doubt, will be bigger and better than ever if they're sold out at this point.
What a great idea. Yeah. Excuse to get dressed up.
Yeah, and particularly for those who,
save a lot of money.
Take the day off.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, we're so blessed that we're so early that, you know, I can go after I knock off, but not everyone has that.
We're so blessed starting work at 4:30 in the morning. Yeah,
absolutely. Has its perks.
Yeah, we are. This is the best job in the world. You wouldn't want to miss it for anything. But, yeah, fantastic event to get involved with next year. Or, as, you know, Kath said, bring that person there. He might slip under a
table. You have to go find, what are those little hats called that you wear at Melbourne Cup Day?
Fascinator.
Is that what they call it? Fascinator.
That's what I usually wear. So, you know, you can grab yourself one of those.
New FM is local as, and you're waking up. You're waking up with the Novos.
New FM.
Stephen.
Kath.
You know how we've been trying to get you on the dog train, right?
Yeah. You're a dog fan, yes.
And you're not a dog fan.
I do like dogs. I'm not like infatuated with it, like dog owners. I think dog owners are ridiculous.
Okay. Well, there's an opportunity for you to kind of, you know, ease into more dog-loving kind of persona.
Okay.
Position.
What have you got for me?
So our friends at Dog Rescue Newcastle, who have the most wonderful dogs to adopt, are actually allowing or asking people to volunteer to be a dog walker at their new temporary shelter. All you have to do is be over 18, available for 1 to 2 hours a week to walk a dog, and be physically capable of walking the dog as well, and be able to travel to Fullerton Cove, which is where their temporary facility is, and you can help walk the puppy dogs.
So, Kath has asked Stephen, will he walk the dogs for free? What do you say?
I actually really like the idea. I think that is so fun. Because then you'd have all the benefits of taking the dog to the park and walking it, which is like the best bit of owning a dog.
And no feeding.
And then you can just hand it back.
For people who like doggies and can't have them because they live in a rented house where they're not allowed to have pets, this is a really great option, and it does help puppies in need. You can find all the details on the Dog Rescue Newcastle website.
It's like the dog equivalent of, like, holding your cousin's kid for a little bit, and then when it starts crying, just hand it back.
Not yours. You don't actually own it.
I like this idea a lot. That sounds like something I would actually really be interested in.
All right, there we go. We've connected some dogs in need with Stephen. Up next, I need your help, Newcastle. Bit of a dilemma that my friend is having. So I'll fill you in on all the details. I'll get some advice from you, if that's all right. And Newcastle, I'm asking for your help here. Because I had a mate ring me up, and he's got a bit of a problem with his neighbour at the moment.
Okay.
So his neighbour's kid, absolutely right into soccer, which in itself, that's fine. That's all well and good. However, he's using the mutual fence they have as like a practice goalpost.
Yeah, he'd probably got the old chalk and drawn a goal on the fence, all that kind of
gear. Something like that, because he's like, this kid, day in, day out, kicking the ball against the fence. And we have a Colourbond fence. So the noise is horrific.
Dwing.
Every time that ball slaps against the fence, it gives this almighty bang. And it's like, he's like, it's day and night, especially now summer, right? It doesn't get dark till like 7 o'clock or whatever.
Later.
Later and later and later. And he's just out there kicking the ball. Ding, ding, ding. Like time after time. He's like, I don't want to be that person that, you know, tells off a kid. It's not even my kid. But the noise is driving me insane. What do I do? I said, I don't think you can tell off the kid. I don't think that's your place, you know. And he's like, oh, I don't know what to do about this. So I thought I'd throw it out there. First of all, what do you guys think? Do you think you can, like, tell the kid, just stop it, you know, tell off the kid like that? What are your thoughts? Kath, you first.
I'm a bit kind of mixed on it. I mean, one of two things. One is you're probably living next door to the next Sam Kerr, so perhaps make friends.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's opportunities there. If the kid's practicing that much, they're likely to go on to be a pretty good player. I would probably suggest that a conversation with the parents might be more appropriate, but you might also want to, you know, perhaps consider investing in, you know, one of those little kids' goals. So that they have an actual goal.
Somewhat ironically right now, you're sitting on the fence. Stephen, what are your thoughts about the whole situation? Can you tell this kid off? Just stop kicking the ball. Like, what do you do in that situation? My friend is, like, proper ropeable at this point.
Well, I hear your arguments, Kath, you know, that I could be the next Sam Kerr and, you know, or the next Tim Cahill. And you've got to worry about, as well, there's so much, I guess, push these days for kids to play outside. Mm. You don't want to tell them off for playing outside. All that being said, do not kick the ball into my fence. I'd be blowing up deluxe. You know, if you don't have to, honestly, like, imagine Sunday arvo. That's your downtime. You're sitting, you're trying to, like, watch telly, you're trying to read a book, something like that. All you hear is twang, twang, twang. It's annoying enough that, like, the builders can start at, you know, 8 a.m. or whatever on a Saturday.
Seven.
Ridiculously early. And I mean, kids notoriously wake up so early as well to watch cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
If they're starting at the crack of dawn and going right through till sunset, honestly, that is a headache waiting to happen. I am blowing up.
All right, so
I'm leaning over the fence going, oi, stop that.
All right, so at this point in the team, I've got one saying stop it, tell the kid off, one saying don't, this could be the next, you know, Sam Kerr. 4967-4105, help me out here. What do I do? You know, what does my friend do here? What can I tell them to do? Can they tell off the kid or not? Day and night, kicking the ball. And he's like, hey, I do appreciate he's out and about, not just playing on PlayStation-y or whatever. But at the same time, it's very, very annoying. What do I do? This is what I'm looking for. Bit of help.
There's nothing wrong with playing on a PlayStation all day.
Wow.
I second that notion.
I mean, but he's just happy the kids get exercise,
yeah,
you know?
It's always a good thing. So we did put this up on the socials this morning. General kind of question, is it okay to tell off the neighbour's kid? And quite a lot of people are saying, yep.
Do it.
So Sally says, for example, if it's one of mine and they're playing up causing trouble or putting themselves or others in danger, I'd like to think that somebody would speak to them.
Interesting.
If the parents aren't there, what are you supposed to do? Let them keep being brats?
There we go. This is the question, and there's a couple of good answers. Sally was it. All right. Shall we go to the phones?
Yep.
Yeah, 4967-4105 is that magic number. We'll go to Rutherford first. Morning, Trish. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I've had three kids growing up playing soccer. Three out of my four grandkids play soccer. We just bought them a goal. But if things got really bad, you go and see the parents and just say, look, can you just explain them what's going on?
Yeah, right. Okay. So if a neighbour came to you and explained that, you wouldn't be too upset about it?
No, I'll help them get a goal. It's for the kid.
Yeah, right. Okay. Just get a goal. Get a goal. It's a good tip there. Thank you, Trish. Now, next caller, Peter, you don't want to say where you're from because you're going through a similar situation. Is that right?
Yeah. So our neighbour's dog continuously barks throughout the day. No one can walk up past the house. It's just, we can't even walk up our side fence. So, yes, it is annoying. We're very subtle. I am very subtle in calling out and telling it to be quiet. But if they didn't want to approach the family, they could put a little present on the front veranda with a note saying something nice. We've used these. It could be an early Christmas present for the kid.
But, yeah, trying to keep it subtle.
Yeah, right. Okay, keep it subtle being the message there. And it's a big message here, maybe. My friend needs to invest in a goal.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they are from Rebel Sport, but surely it'd be cheaper than losing your sanity.
Gumtree job, Facebook Marketplace or something, surely.
Even better idea.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
I'm getting a bit excited about this news of a new small bar in Mayfield.
Yeah, well, I am. That's
Hold
not,
on, what's happening
that's
here?
That's country.
I've missed this.
You what? Weren't listening to the news of just now?
No, yeah. Never.
Yeah, small bars are being allowed more out, and Mayfield's getting one, right?
Yeah, it's going to be called Velvet at Mayfield, and it's going to be across the road from the Stag and Hunter. I love a small bar. I'm a big small bar girl, so
that's
I'm very,
the smoothness.
Very excited. Well, it's small bars have this great kind of atmosphere and community, and you get to know the locals and all that kind of stuff. It's just really awesome.
I'm thrilled by this because that is walking distance from my house. So
staggering distance.
Exactly.
Oh,
I see what you've done there.
Now, for someone who's like a bit ignorant to the whole situation,
yeah.
Is a small bar just like a big bar but smaller?
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's usually more, you know, like they're often wine bars or gin bars, or they've got a bit of a theme about them. So
right.
This one's going to be like an Art Deco kind of, you know,
vibey
type place.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And Art Deco is on trend in terms of decor at the moment, so very, very cool.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, we are excited to have a couple beers. And speaking of, you know, beverages, I had a bit of drama over the weekend purchasing some of my own.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, I'll give you in on all the details and how I got called out at the Bodlo up next here on New FM.
Coming up very soon, I found another Facebook group that I am enjoying
okay.
quite a lot.
Ooh, a popcorn one?
No.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
It's different. Meet new friends one.
Ooh. Okay.
Just as exciting.
Lovely, right. Lovely.
Now, though, team, I've run into a bit of a drama on the weekend.
Uh-oh.
And I want to bring in producer Scott Chippy from Pell, because I imagine, mate, you're probably in a similar boat to me where you and I are at that age where we're still ID'd sometimes.
Yep.
When going to the bar, buying drinks, not all the time. But still, every now and again, I'm asked to provide my ID.
Well, you do have amazing skin, Stephen. Amazing skin.
Thank you, mate.
Calm down, Creamo.
Well, you do too, Scott. Don't get me wrong.
I get a little bit jealous there.
It's all right.
A little bit bitter in that comment, wasn't it?
Well, this kind of drama came to forefront on the weekend. The Sunday, I was doing my weekly shop. So I was at Charlestown. I was at Woolies there and just did, you know, got all my bits and bobs, my groceries for the week. And as I was walking out, just to the right as you exit the Woolworths Charlestown there, there's a BWS. Caught my eyes. The big flashing orange sign.
It's got ya.
I was like, oh, I'm almost out of beer. Better go and, you know, grab some quickly.
Can't let that happen.
So, walked into BWS, bought myself a carton of beer and, like, a bottle of Tempranillo.
Yeah,
so
very nice. Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. I know my wine. Don't worry about it. And then walked up to the counter, and this is where I just, my knees start shaking. I've got no idea what I'm going to do. When I was 18 and, you know, like the few years directly after that, I used to just hand them my ID unsolicited.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was coming.
In advance.
Well, that's it. I'm like, I'm going to get asked the question here. I might as well skip the middleman and just give them my ID.
One beer, please.
Yeah, all that kind of gear. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But no, don't worry about putting it in a bag. I'm going to drink it right now in the car. It's fine. But these days, I'm trying to act a bit more mature and act older. And I'm
you trying to adult again?
I'm trying to adult just a little bit.
It's so cute.
All right. Well, while you think it was cute, my partner Siobhan did not. She called me out big time. We're both standing there at the checkout, and she reckoned, she told me when we left, that when I buy alcohol, I try and put on a deeper voice to sound more mature. I was like, surely this isn't true. She's like, yeah, you fool, put it on. Like, oh, yeah, no, just the case, please, and the bottle of wine. That'll be all, thanks.
Oh, jeez. And did it work? Did you get carded?
Well, I didn't get carded.
Well, it's working then.
I'm Yes. Maybe I need to keep up with the fake accent, the fake deeper voice. What do we think?
Yeah, I think you should. Do you want to take us to the song in the deeper buying alcohol Stephen voice?
What song have we got coming up, Krivo?
A little bit we're looking at, here's this, right? A bit of Whitney Houston Clean Bandit. How will I know? That's a few minutes away. Here we go. Stephen deeper voice version. Take it away.
Newcastle's best music right here on New FM. Coming up in a few minutes. Got a bit of Whitney Houston for your cup day. It's New FM.
And I swear there is a Facebook group for everything.
As it should be.
And it's one of my favourite things to do, to just go kind of group diving, you know, where you click from one to the other to the other to the other until you find something that is, you know, really quite interesting, which is how I found these latest groups. They're called Ladies Social Groups.
Oh, okay.
There are heaps of them.
Right.
And the Newcastle one is actually quite large. So the Newcastle Ladies Social Group Australia has 6,500 members. The Maitland Ladies Social Group has another 1,000 members.
Jeez, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
And basically what these groups are women who are isolated for whatever reason. They might be home with the kids. Mm-hmm. They might have anxiety or chronic health issues that keeps them at home. Or perhaps they're a bit older, the kids are out of the house and they're looking to make new friends for a new part of their life.
Sure.
And they organise meetups. And they just, you know, go to a restaurant and there's like 25 people who don't know each other and they make new friendships.
I think that's awesome.
I love it.
Especially like yourself, you haven't been in Newcastle that long. No. It's a great way to, I guess, connect with other people and socialise, yeah?
Yeah, find some new people that are into what you're into. And some of the threads are actually, you know, really quite specific. Like there's one, for example, that's talking all these people that work in trauma-related fields are connecting.
Yeah, right.
Right. So it can be very, very specific and you can really find your people, which I think is, you know, the most important thing that we all need to do in life is find your people.
Well, human connection, isn't it? Is what, like, it's all about at the end of the day.
And like you said, what, there's 6,500 people in this Newcastle one. Yeah. So if you throw out a little feeler, someone's got to be into the same thing you're into.
Yeah, or want to talk about something similar, right?
Not all 6,500, but you might find a half dozen who really enjoy what you enjoy.
And you've got yourself a little social group.
I love that. So it's really easy to find, is it? You just do a little search in Facebook.
Yeah, just search for ladies social group and you'll find it.
Jobs are good.
I love the idea as well of the first couple people at this meetups at a restaurant. You haven't met any of these people before. You don't know what they look like. There's just a bunch of people looking lost to begin with. If you rocked up like 10th or something like that, you'd be like, the big group over there.
Yeah.
That's probably the safe bet. But the first like two people, just all looking lost.
A little bit meerkatty, if you will. Like, oh, the little head bopping back and forth. But that's all right, because it doesn't take long before they all arrive.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos. 105.3 New FM.
All right, a bit of advice, family. I need some help from the team.
Sure.
So the residents of the Charlestown Castle, we've all purchased tickets to a function this afternoon for the Melbourne Cup.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
cool.
So we're going to Queen's Wharf.
Yeah.
And there's like a three-course lunch and a drink package included.
Lovely.
It was pretty pricey. Like, for all transparency, I think tickets were $150 each. Mm-hmm. So sets you back a fair bit. But my one concern is, nowhere on this event or ticket does it state a dress code. Am I expected to wear a suit?
Yeah.
At least dress pants and shirt, yes.
Okay.
Definitely. I think suit up, full suit, maybe even tuxedo if you've got it.
Well, you reckon I can get away with, like, no tie? Probably need to wear a tie, hey?
Wear a tie, man. Or, here's the top tip. What do you reckon, Kath?
It's so hard, isn't it?
It's right, not at the race course.
No.
So I would say probably you don't need a tie, but I would expect that it would be a reasonably formal event.
Put the tie on, you can always take it off.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I guess the other thing as well is people probably aren't paying $150 if they just want to watch it at the pub in their
stubbies.
You know, stubbies.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you got it suit up, man. You look good.
All right. So across the team, we're saying
Siobhan will love it.
Unfortunately, need a suit up.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, it'll be good fun. Yeah, I will have a good time. I was just hoping maybe. I could get away with it. And then they're like, why aren't you dressed up? I'd say, the Novo said didn't have to. And then they'd be fine. I'd get in. But
that's right. You wanted to just dress whatever we say you've got to dress up. Do the right thing, Stephen.
All right. I'll wear my suit this afternoon. It should be fun.
Up next, we are, I guess, delving into the world of food rip-offs. Because there's some that have been seen that are just outrageous at the moment. If you've seen any foods or anything, that is so expensive. You want to vent, your safe space coming up here at New FM. And guys, this photo is going viral at the moment of a cafe that is currently selling a ham and cheese croissant. Not something that they're, you know, cutting the ham and everything up. It's just sitting in the window, like one ready to go in the Sammy Press. And they're selling it for $14.
Wow.
Now, where was this?
It was in Melbourne, right? A cafe in Melbourne.
Oh, of course it was a cafe in Melbourne.
I mean, you say that, but there are a lot of expensive food situations happening around everywhere at the moment, including right here in Newcastle. Like around the team, how much would you be happy to pay for a ham and cheese croissant?
$7-8
I'm not paying more than $8. That's what I thought yesterday when this story went viral.
14 is an outrage. And it got me thinking, what is the worst example of a food or like grocery ripoff you've seen recently?
Well, it's funny because stories like this stick with you when you've been stung by something like this. I'll stay in the cafe field.
Okay.
I remember once paid $16 for some avo on toast, right? Mm. And normally when you buy avocado on toast, you get like the bits and bobs, maybe a bit of feta on there, like chili flakes, some glaze, a sauce of some kind, right? Literally was avocado on toast. That's it, as it said on the tin. Oh, $16.
That is too much.
Are you taking the mic?
Last night, I was waiting for like a little takeaway for dinner, and I went ducked up to the Coles at Waratah because I need some spray and wipe because I'm the one that like cleans the stove usually. I knew we were out. It was $7.50 for one little of spray and wipe. I was like, are you joking? $7.50? We are being ripped off. That's outrageous. And this is what I wanted to do here. 4967-4105. What is the worst example of like a food, drink, rip-off, something like that, or even a grocery one that you've seen recently? Because we're all aware cost of living is through the roof at the moment.
Have you been stung by this recently, Kath? Has one come to front of mind?
No, not really. I mean, every time we go to an airport, the prices are ridiculous.
Airport, perfect example.
Yeah, that
is bad.
So bad.
And hotels. Like, you go to, you know, big fancy hotels and pay like $20 for a drink.
That's an example. That's a perfect example.
Not doing that. We might bring in Jess from the newsroom as well, a reputable journalist, and see if she's got an example of maybe something where she's been stung in the not too distant past.
Nope, Jess, maybe in the next break. We'll get her on then. But let's do this. 4967-4105. What's the worst example of a food rip-off you've experienced or seen? Because we want to hear what's going on around Newcastle. Now, we did allude to our reputable journalist, Jess. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Have you spotted any of these outrageous rip-offs around?
This is more of a pet peeve of mine that I come across all the time. It's not like in a cafe. It's just in the grocery shop, but it always frustrates me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I eat a lot of cheese in my house. Like, I go through cheese like nobody else, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And I decided that because I can be lazy, I want to buy grated cheese. You know, it's already done. You rip open the packet. Bob's your uncle.
Convenience first.
Exactly. But grated cheese, $10 a bag in Woolies. Compared to the block, that's like half the price.
Yeah, that is outrageous.
Like, why am I paying $5 for a machine to grate my cheese?
And you know it's not a person with the
old
box grater.
I know it's not.
It's not hand grated, I'll give you that.
It's ridiculous.
That is outrageous.
Gets to me every time.
It is a great question. Aldi. Why are you paying $5 to do that?
Yeah.
Just grate it yourself.
$5.
We live and learn, don't we?
No, I wouldn't lecture you, Jess. Don't worry. I'm on your side.
All right. We go to Rono first. Shaz, what's the outrageous rip-off you've seen?
Oh, mate, Toronto pub lately, you know, uh-oh, you change your furniture, you know, it doesn't mean you're getting a $28 payment for a snitty and chips out of me, brother.
Oh, that is very expensive, but I'm sure it's delicious, right?
Unfortunately, $28 is the going rate these days.
It feels normal.
I don't know where you get a cheaper snitty.
I think that's probably about right.
Probably your bowlers and stuff. And of course, they'll be shitting you at night or burger night or something where it's like still $10 in some very rare places.
You know they've got deals on it, Ronno pub, that's for sure. All right, where are we heading next?
We'll go to Cardiff. Morning, Katie. What's this rip-off story you've got for us?
Oh, I thought I'd take my nephews and my daughter out to the cafe, have a nice little session there, and mm-hmm. I went up to get those rock-hard, disgusting cookies with the Smarties in them. They were going to charge me $11 a pop. Are you serious?
For your little cookie?
$33 for three cookies? No, my friend. I'm going to Aldi and getting a cheap bulk pack. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I am on Katie's side here. You should not have to take out a mortgage to get cookies for the family.
That is just wow. Be alert and be warned is the cautionary tale that we're all learning here this morning.
UFM is local as, and you're waking up with the Novos.
UFM.
And it is, of course, Cup Day, family. We're up and about, excited. The race that stops the nation. And if you're looking for, I guess, something a bit homegrown to back, you know, something close to home.
Sure.
Up next, we'll be chatting to one of the directors of Australian Bloodstock, who is a syndicate who owns last year's winner, Gold Trip, who's also running again this year. Ooh. So lots of excitement around the race. We'll see what's happening at Flemington. They're there at the moment. We'll get live from there. And, of course, maybe a bit of a prediction for how today's race is going to go. It's all exciting. It's all happening very shortly.
Got a hot tip for you if you're looking for a job. You might have seen in the news yesterday that Centrelink are hiring 3,000 people.
For what? Various jobs?
In Newcastle?
Well, no, all over the country.
Oh, okay.
But they're doing this big recruitment drive because the previous government got rid of all the people and replaced them with, you know, automated programs that didn't work so well. So they're spending, wait for it, they're spending $228 million on hiring what is really 2,200 people because they've already hired 800, which works out to over $100,000 in recruitment costs for each person.
Oh, my God. That's that's huge. That's more. That's like triple what I'm earning. I want that.
I know. And it kind of makes you realise how few people want to work at Centrelink. So, you know, if you need a job, off you go.
Oh, it would be tough, Yakka, right there.
Yeah, it would be a hard job. Hard
but
job.
Rewarding. Mm. You know, difficult.
The actual helping people, isn't it? At the end of the day?
Yeah, I don't know if you get to help that many people. It's a lot of bureaucratic ticking
and flicking. I don't know, but you do stuff and then they get money that they need. Well, that sounds helpful.
You're a cog in the machine anyway that helps people. Yeah. Whatever helps you get through your 9-to-5.
It's good money. Take it.
Absolutely. Top tip from Kath. So you're waking up with the Novos. Happy Cup Day, everyone.
And coming up very soon, what's the goss with Scott? What you got for us today?
Sound the alarm. It's Taylor Swift talk.
Oh.
Just a little bit, though. Taylor Swift's won a whole heap of awards, but so have a whole heap of international artists. Let's go through the full list of winners and what the prizes were up next.
All right, that's not too far off.
All right, team, the countdown is on. The race that stops the nation, not too far away. And if you jog your memory back 12 months ago or something like that, a little old horse, Gold Trip, took out the Melbourne Cup, owned by Newcastle's own Australian Bloodstock. On the line, we have none other than Jamie Lovett, Director of Australian Bloodstock. How's things, mate?
Yeah, morning, guys. Very well, thank you.
Are you excited for the big day today? Hopefully, you know, lightning does strike twice in this instance.
Yeah, look, it's always an exciting time of the year. And obviously, this year's, last year's fresh in our minds, so we're sort of enjoying it even more today.
Now, how many horses do you guys have running throughout, you know, like all the different venues and through the different races?
Look, we're very in a fortunate position this year that we've got three in the cup.
Wow.
Ashron and a new mare that we brought out of France called Lacosca. So obviously our focus is on that today. So and then we've got a few other runners around the country. Invercargill in the last race here in Melbourne today as well.
Oh, there you go. Cheeky little trifecta there if you
Lovely.
Want for the cup.
Three horses, imagine that.
Three winners. We can only pray. Now, I do want to ask, Jamie, because for those that aren't in the know, this might seem a silly question, but you do have lots of horses. Are they all trained by, like, the same people, got the same jockeys? Is there a trusted group? Or, like, how does that all kind of sorted?
Nah, look, every race takes a different shape. We've obviously got horses trained by Chris Lees here in Newcastle, the majority of our horses. The two of the horses today are trained by Kieran Maher and David Eustace, and the other is trained by Mick Price down here in Melbourne. So,
now, some people in this, I guess, industry, if you will, have little, like, things they do for luck or superstitions. Do you have anything like that yourself?
Oh, look, not really. I'm not overly superstitious, but we seem to follow a very similar pattern. The week we've been down here all week, and yeah, I try and keep it fairly normal, if you like. And as I say, I'm not superstitious, but I don't like to sort of step outside the flag too much.
Oh, yeah, it's all happening, of course. It's race day, right?
Yeah, and I assume it's very busy. One thing that's also topical about this year's Melbourne Cup, and we spoke about it yesterday on our show, shorts allowed as formal wear this year. Will you be whipping the legs out, Jamie?
I'm a traditionalist. I'll have the bag of fruit on today.
Yeah, okay, good
Lovely
man.
Lovely stuff.
Well, hopefully the weather stays pretty cool. Best of luck with all the races and all your runners today, and fingers crossed you can make it 2 years in a row.
Great, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Another Nozos. What's the goss? UFM.
Sound the alarm. It's a Taylor Swift update from our very own producer, Scott Chippy Fafel. What have you got for us?
Oh, yes, Taylor Swift update, left, right and centre. Now, look, Taylor Swift is just winning awards out the wazoo, particularly after the release of 1989 Taylor's version. There's too many awards to count there.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable. A couple of awards that she did pick up recently, though, at the 2023 MTV Europe Music Awards. Now, the event has actually been cancelled due to the conflict in the Middle East, but they have released the list of winners. Taylor Swift taking out three: Best Video, Best Artist, and Best Live Performance.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the album where she just got her old songs and then sung them again. Yep. Is that it?
Pretty much. Well, look, you're really simplifying it there, Crevo. There's a whole heap of politics involved, but essentially, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. Yeah. There's a whole heap of issues with her last record company and the ownership of songs. And now that enough time has passed, she can re-release songs in her own format and she gets the money for them.
Smart.
rather than the other agency.
And more awards, because she probably don't have enough, does she?
I reckon she might have like a really small mantelpiece. She only just has a couple of ones hanging off the side. Yeah. But yeah, so she was one of the big winners at the MTV EMA Awards. Others went to, Best Song of the Year went to Jungkook and Latto with Seven, which we literally just heard. Maneskin picked up Best Rock, Nicki Minaj for Best Hip Hop. So lots of big winners there, but none other than Taylor Swift taking out a lot of top spots as well.
Lovely stuff, and I love a Taylor Swift update from you.
Well, there's two things that I've taken from this year alone.
Yeah.
Is Taylor Swift is front of mind for everybody, and so is Barbie. And Barbie, they're making a new movie, but it's not just about Barbie. Do you guys remember Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's called Barbenheimer. Now, this was a phenomenon because the two movies were released on the same day a little earlier this year. But now, some genius has said, you know what? We're actually going to make a movie called Barbenheimer about a doll scientist who builds an atomic bomb humanity.
No,
I kid you not.
You know what? That's the one I'm excited to see. I haven't seen the other two. I'll see Barbenheimer.
I've seen them both. And look, they were fine. I thought Barbie was clever. Oppenheimer was dark. But they're both very good standalone movies. Would I mix them together? I don't think so. This is 100% a cash grab, though. And they all recognize it. Hollywood's recognizing it. But also, people are going to spend money. Better in their pockets and such.
We live in such a time-poor society as well. If you don't have time to watch both movies,
this could be
a solution.
Oh, the best of both, but cannot lost us.
And
there
clearly
we go.
The creatives aren't creative enough to come up with actually a new concept.
Well, some would say that. I say it's a time saver. Oh, I'm excited for it.
I reckon it's going to go off in the cinemas, but watch this space. A release date hasn't been announced yet. A lot of details still to be determined. They haven't got a cast or anything, but Yeah, look, it's going to be big.
I can't wait. You can count me as one ticket sold.
New FM. The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast.
The Novos. All right, I want to do a little shout out to the bloke. He's off around Hamilton or Waratah who wears the bear onesie. Have you guys ever seen him at like the Waratah shops or anything?
I can't say I've had the privilege of running into this gentleman.
He's always just in a good mood. Yesterday he was just chilling near the, you know, the cake shop at Georgetown there on the main street.
Yeah.
He's just chilling there. He's always just in a good mood. If you ever see him, just say g'day. He's a lovely guy and has the best bear onesie. I was worried being summer, we might be seeing like the end of it, but we had a couple of cold days the last few days. He's brought it back out. So I salute you, sir, and I hope you wear it to a Melbourne Cup event today.
It's funny as well, because he might be the only bear that has like reverse hibernation.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Hibernates during summer instead of winter.
Could well be the case. But yeah, salute to him if you see him around. Lovely bloke.
Coming up very soon, got a PSA for you about relationship scams.
Ooh, be alert and aware. We've got some education coming up next here at New FM.
According to new research that came out last week, Australians are the second most susceptible in the world to romance scams.
Really?
Mm.
That surprises me.
Second only to the United States, 14.7 romance scams per 100,000 people.
Oof. I mean, wow. I'm not big on the numbers, but it seems like too many.
It's quite a lot. So it turns out, though, a couple of things you may not have expected. Older Australians at most at risk. 55 to 64-year-olds lost the most money, losing around $7
million. $7
million? Just last year. Whoa. And men are more vulnerable than women.
Jeez. Really? Wow.
57% of victims are men, not women, even though, you know, the kind of stereotypical victim is a woman falling in love with, you know, some man that's sending her nice messages. It turns out that men are the most vulnerable to investment scams.
Well, you wonder as well, like, if sometimes men might not be brave enough to admit it. Like, they might not want to tell people that they've, you know, been scammed out of money, because it's quite embarrassing for anyone, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them are, you know, ones where, you know, they've convinced people to send them nudes and then they've blackmailed them, right? Which is like one version. And guys are particularly susceptible to that as well. But it's the one where they get, they convince people to invest in businesses that don't exist or, you know, investment schemes that just don't exist, that are causing the most heartache and the most loss of money, because it's obviously fairly significant. Lots of money that go into those kind of investment scams. The other one that I found really interesting is that it's not actually dating apps that where all this scamming is happening.
Oh.
It's not your Tinders. It is actually just garden variety social media where people are getting had.
Yeah, right. So this is a big alert,
fake accounts
really.
And stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, lots of people kind of, you know, it's very easy to kind of set up a whole background on a social media profile, whereas people are a bit more alert on a dating site, I think, that,
right.
You know, they might be getting scammed. Anyway, so the number one advice to avoid a romance scam is just don't send money to somebody.
That sounds like a great bit of advice.
For anything, really. Any kind of scam, just don't send money. You're good.
Mm. It's crazy hearing all this as well because naively, I guess, just like an innocent view of the world, I thought it was still just like some prince who was asking for money.
In Nigeria.
I realise it's become all this like investment element to it as well and this blackmail element.
Yeah, it's
scary.
So sinister, isn't it?
Yeah, and some of them are, you know, like kind of, you know, big schemes or, you know, networks of criminals that are ripping people off. And sometimes it's just, you know, inscrupulous people that are taking advantage of, you know, people that want to fall in love to get money for whatever reason. They're just garden variety con people.
Well, here's, I guess, a bit of a tip. If you've got someone who is a bit older in your family that's single, just at least warn them about this. So at least they're like armed when they go out into the world of dating.
Yeah, it's scary enough as it is.
A lot of bad actors out there, definitely. And what have we got coming up, Kath?
I was just going to say, enjoy your Melbourne Cup day.
Come on!
We will have the race for you live here at 3 from the jump.
Horse is getting ready now.
Yeah, it's good.
So if you are not in an event where they've got it on the screen, maybe you're out in the car, maybe you're at work, the guys that are on site, we will have the race for you at 3.
Perfect.
Here's a tip for you as well.
I'm on number four, breakup. Don't know why, just am. So
just chosen it.
Bet responsibly, of course.
Of course, and you don't have to bet to be a winner. In fact, you can win all day with us. We've got heaps, heaps more tickets to Freelance, our exclusive preview screening. Be walking the red carpet, photos up against the photo wall, looking good, of course, tomorrow night.
Yeah, of course, you can win them all day today. We are done, though. We'll be back tomorrow. And, of course, they have got a public holiday in Victoria today for Melbourne Cup. There's talks that Newcastle might get its own new public holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you stick around tomorrow to hear all about that. We'll see you then.
See ya.
I've been listening to your show on the radio.
You've been listening to the Novos. Would you like some more? Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au to get more now.